Mr. Gold, have not seen you since New Orleans. It's great to talk with you. I appreciate the time so very much.
It's good to be with you. How are you doing today? All right?
I'm good. We ate at Herman's last night, so life's good for a couple of days.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That makes any trip to Fayetteville, Arkansas, a desirable one.
It does indeed.
Yep.
And they sent you the hello from
good,
there
good.
As usual. Look forward
that.
To your triumphant return.
Another couple of years. Exactly.
Surprised at all by the announcement today that Jeff Gordon was stepping down at the end of this season?
I was surprised at the timing. I don't think anybody was surprised at that. You know, he was getting close to the end of his racing career. I mean, obviously, you just don't go on forever. But I was kind of surprised that it happened in a press release form at, 9 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday or whatever it is. Yeah, that surprised me. I also thought he would really try and, I guess after last year when he came so close to winning the championship, he wanted to give it one more try in this drive for five to get to that fifth national championship. But I was just a tick surprised that it happened this morning in press release form and that it didn't happen during the media confab next week, or that it didn't happen during speed weeks down in Daytona in a few weeks' time. But the fact that he hung it up, that part probably, I figured it would happen if not this year, then next year. So that, I guess, was not terribly shocking.
And I have not read the full statement that he made. I do know that he's kind of commented that he doesn't like to use the R word, meaning retirement, but he does
right.
say that he's going to slow down a good bit. Would you expect him to run in a few races? What do you think that means, Eli, in terms of his future?
I don't expect him to run any more races personally. If I were a guessing man, if I were a betting man, and this is in no way, shape, or form insider information or anything, but it would not shock me that if in 2016 he and Chad Knaus, who is Jimmy Johnson's crew chief, replace Larry McReynolds and Darrell Waltrip on the Fox broadcasts as they try to transition into a younger generation of broadcasters, and whether Mike Joy remains or not, who knows? And again, that's just Eli guessing. But we're seeing that with NBC this year, with ESPN getting out of NASCAR. That would, to me, make perfect sense. Jeff and Chad and either Mike or Adam Alexander or somebody over on the Fox side. Plus, he is going to continue on with Hendrick Motorsports. He is an equity owner there. To what degree remains to be seen. Plus, he is a very good businessman. He owns a number of Jeff Gordon Chevrolet dealerships out there. I guess the closest one to us is probably in Wilmington, North Carolina. But, there are business interests that he has. You know, plus he is now a father. You know, he's got a couple of children, and he probably wants to spend some time, being a family man. The NASCAR lifestyle, even for a wealthy individual, is terribly demanding. You're on the road, 250 days a year, if not more. You miss so many functions that your children are involved in. And even if you have the wherewithal to fly them to the races on your private jet and stay in your motorhome and all of this, you're still missing a lot of stuff. If you don't homeschool your child, which they do not, you miss a lot. And I think he's tired of missing the dance recitals and the softball games or whatever it might be. He'll be involved in the sport, but I think we'll see you know, even in TV, the one network does not do all of the events. So it would very well, like, it would allow him to, you know, to spend some time with the family far more than he is now.
It's an unbelievable career that he's had with four cup championships, I think 92 career wins, if I'm not mistaken,
right,
and that's got him, I think, third on the list.
Exactly, behind Richard and David, yeah.
Right, and, but I heard the, you know, a lot of talk today that of what he brought for the sport itself, maybe outside of the Southeast. I know it was a national sport and an international sport before he got involved, but from your perspective, what was that impact beyond the area of the country where the sport has its roots?
Well, you know, when he started in 92, it really wasn't that much. You know, it had certainly taken on a national footprint, but it was not nearly as accepted on a nationwide basis as it is today. What he really did, you know, he, along with Dale Earnhardt, the dad, Dale Sr., who was still with us at the time, it was on their shoulders that the sport was carried in to the next generation. Dale and Jeff were of different generations, so Jeff was the next, was the young guy. That's point number one. He was also the guy who first defined what a NASCAR driver could do, not on the racetrack, but away from the racetrack. You know, to go and host Saturday Night Live, to fill in for Regis Philbin on Regis and Kathy Lee back in the day. Of course, now, right, you know, Michael Strahan and Kelly Ripa. But, you know, he was the first NASCAR driver to, on a regular basis, you know, live in New York City, partake in the active social life that New York had, and do, like I say, appear in mainline television appearances. Never before had NASCAR had that. Richard Petty didn't do it. Cale Yarborough didn't do it. David Pearson didn't do it. None of the Labonte brothers did it. Jeff was the first guy to open that door. And, of course, since then, guys like Jimmy Johnson and others have walked through that door. So that, to me, is probably his legacy off the racetrack. On the racetrack, he's one of the all-time greats that NASCAR's ever had. You know, we're not talking about fandom here now. You know, we don't need to get calls and say, no, this guy was better, that guy. He was one of the all-time great drivers. But it was off the track that I think he blazed the trail to the point now where we see Carl Edwards on Subway commercials. And, you know, seeing a NASCAR driver in a commercial, Michael Waltrip for Aaron's or whatever it might be, now it's the norm. In those days, it was totally the exception, and he was the first guy to open that door.
Alabama Sports Hall of Famer Eli Gold joining us here on Tide 99.1. I've got to ask you, football, and I know you hadn't been in, or I'm guessing you haven't been in Mobile for the Senior Bowl
stuff been on the
this
road,
week.
Yeah.
But it's great to read all of the reviews that we are about Jalston Fowler and the opportunity he's getting there.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us are surprised, Eli, that have followed him. But it's wonderful to see a guy that we enjoyed covering so much get the opportunity that it looks like he's going to get at the next level.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, and you know him, I know him. He's a nice guy. That's one of the other things. You know, he's, forgetting his football playing abilities for a moment, he's just one of the real nice guys that we've had the pleasure of dealing with over the years. But, you know, we saw what he could do. I mean, the guy has good hands. He's a bruising runner, whether it was from the fullback, the H-back, or now a true tailback spot, whatever it might be. I mean, he's a bruising runner. And that was something that Phil Savage talked about on our broadcasts from the get-go. And, of course, Phil is the executive director at the Senior Bowl and has been, I'm sure, helping point things out to a lot of the observers. But yeah, it's a one. Anytime somebody can do well and prepare themselves for that next level, because we all know the odds of you making it are slim at best. And to see somebody like him get a great opportunity and to take advantage of it, you can't beat that.
Along those very similar lines, I don't think any of us had Blake Sims in the Senior Bowl in the office pool to start the season.
No,
and,
no.
That being said, as long as you've been doing this and following Alabama, has there been a story of an individual that's gone from one extreme to the other in terms of what was anticipated for him what we saw this year?
None that I can remember. I mean, if we sat down and looked back over 26 years, maybe there was some other somewhat similar story, though it doesn't come to mind, but it was just remarkable. Here's a guy who just hung around, did whatever he had to do, did what was ever asked of him, and the heartbreak, and I don't think you were there, Chris, and if you were, you'll have to excuse me, when we got back to the hotel after the loss to Ohio State, the timing was such, I got back to the hotel, and I was looking for my family in all the people that were there. And then here came Blake, who located his mom, ran up to her and just started breaking down crying. I mean, folks have read that story here lately and so on. It reminded you how, you know, these guys are truly kids, and how much that game and the career and everything meant to him. It was just so emotional to watch. But no, the only way any of us thought he was going to the Senior Bowl at season's beginning was by walking up to the box office and buying a ticket, unless Phil was able to get him a freebie after his eligibility was done. But it's great. I mean, it's just one of the wonderful feel-good stories that the world of sports and Alabama football has provided to us over the years.
Well, I started the show off today with the executive director of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, Scott Myers, checking in with us.
Yes, with the games coming to Birmingham.
Yeah, we talked to him from Switzerland. How about this? A guy from Trustful talking to a guy from Fairfield from Switzerland, connecting in Tuscaloosa while I'm in Fayetteville. That's not easy to put together.
No, it is not easy to do.
So then we had Wendell Hudson on, another Alabama Sports Hall of Famer at one, and then we cap it properly with you. So I may just quit early. I know I've got 17 minutes officially left on the clock today, but we may call it a show right now.
Well, I am in no way, shape, or form in Wendell's category. I was very, very honest when I was inducted a year ago in May that I still don't see what I do being Hall of Fame worthy, although I'm not turning the honor back, don't get me wrong. But, you know, those guys are the Hall of Famers. And to be in the same sentence with any of them, including Wendell, is just a huge honor. And I'm thrilled for, among others, Jay Barker going in this year when the hall opens its doors again. But, yeah, that was quite the coup for the city of Birmingham, getting the World Games. And who knows, maybe the beluga whale is next. Who knows?
But, yeah, Larry, timing is everything in life, and Larry's got a lot of it these days.
Yeah,
but yeah, he was just ahead of his time, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Maybe that was the case.
Perhaps, yeah. That's
Eli,
wild.
Thank you so much, as always. Greatly
enjoy Bud
the
Walton
time.
This evening. It's always one of the great atmospheres in the SEC.